Hey, Catholic Divas. Welcome to the podcast again. Mama Vicky and I are going to share how our Lent is going in this fourth week. And we ask you how your Lent is going. So come on in and hear what we have to say. Hey, this is Mama Jane.
And this is Mama Vicky. Welcome to the Cycles and Sanctity podcast.
I'm a Billings Ovulation Method instructor and a certified Catholic mindset coach.
And I'm a labor and delivery nurse, an IBCLC, and a La Leche League leader.
We're here to share with you the beauty and the pain of your cycles.
Have you considered honoring your cycle throughout the journey of your womanhood?
Have you ever considered your cycle as a tool towards your holiness?
Well, sisters, it is. We're excited to walk this journey with you.
So go grab your favorite journal and pen and your hot beverage, and let's do this. Well, welcome back, Catholic Divas. We are in the fourth week of Lent, and we have a question for you. How is your Lent going? Mama Vicky, how is your Lent going?
Well, I think my Lent is going okay on the thing I gave up. I always wait for the Sunday and indulge, which then I have a... Anyway, that's just how I've done it. But I feel pretty good. And what's more important is I feel like this is just something I'll share with you guys. So my husband and I started listening to the Bible in a year. And that's something my husband just, we have never done together. And he takes me to work. And so we started doing that. So every drive to and from work, we listen to one episode. And that has been really amazing to open the door to conversations between us. So I feel like our journey together involving and heightening God in our relationship has helped a lot. So Wow. That is my celebration of what's going well in Lent.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really happy that you said that about Sundays, because I also have been practicing, you know, what I gave up, and I gave up coffee. I've been having coffee on Sundays. And there's different thoughts. There's two different thoughts. I have friends who are like, no, I do it the whole way through. It's actually 46 days of Lent if you do that. But one of the things that I was listening to the Abiding Together podcast, and I can't even think of all three of their names, but one of them said, we have to remember one of the reasons why we don't fast on Sundays is that every Sunday is a little resurrection day, and the resurrection is always with us. And I thought that was so beautiful. I had been told years ago that with this thought, Holy Mother Church never gives her children more than they can bear. So if you cannot fast the whole time, Sundays is kind of like a reprieve, like a timeout, or like a, you know, when you used to play tag, you always had a safe tree, right? Mm-hmm. Or base, right? That was mm-hmm. it. But I really, really like the idea. And I had also heard a few years ago from another priest was saying that Sundays are our resurrection day. Sundays are not for fasting. And then this particular priest was also reminding us of the 50 days of Easter, that is 50 days of Easter, and that is not a time of fasting either. And so while traditionally up until last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I don't remember, it was during COVID sometime, it was one of those Easters before, I usually would fast, abstain from meat on Fridays, but I intentionally ate meat last year, or whatever it was, the past 2 years, I guess, during Easter, because I really wanted to focus on that fact of that there's 50 days of celebration. And yes, there's 40 days of Lent and suffering, right?
The other thing I just want to point out is that if you do mess up, I mean, that's not, it's kind of like dieting. You go on this diet and then you, hey, get invited out to eat, and you go off your diet and you eat that. But the company you were with, that's, you know, it's a friend you hadn't been able to see, or it's a family member or whatever. The event is more important than adhering strictly to your diet. So I kind of feel that way in Lent too. So if you do mess up, whatever, kind of like you said, like, you don't even think, you know, you're at work and you run down and grab lunch real quick and you snag a chicken sandwich and you, oh my gosh, it's Friday. You know, you remember 2 hours later that it's Friday, or whatever your thing is, or, oh no, I gave this up. I just forgot in my haste. Like, that's not a time to beat yourself up. I mean, Christ knows we are human and that we are going to fail. So I also don't mean just be flippantly like, meh, oh, well, I tried and it didn't work. Not really to that extent, but use it as an opportunity to grow, to be like, hey, you know, Holy Spirit, this is why I need you all the time, 24 hours a day, because I can't stay steady on my own. And try not to see it as a weakness. I know that I struggle with a lot of that is my struggle in my relationship with God. Somehow I think I've got a better plan. And I'm like, hey, God, here's my layout. If you could just follow through with this. And usually that ends up, I take a completely different route. So it's just kind of funny. You know, I think the only way to let go of that pride is through prayer and meditation and just keeping yourself focused. I over the years, my journey has not, I've not participated in adoration very often. You know, I had 8 kids and I was busy with them. And then I became a nurse and just that schedule, it was never a habit. And I've been able to get into that more. And just the beauty, I'm overwhelmed with the beauty of adoration every single time. Awesome. It's just, if you could just take that hour, and I can't even really put it into words, it's just the experience. And I think, again, my focus is, you know, God gave his only son. I can't even imagine one of my children being hurt, let alone for him to carry the weight of the world. And that's such a gift. And so instead of like focusing on the negative feelings that brings out, wow, like I want to do better. Like he wants us to do better. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. kind of my attempt. And like I always say on this podcast, you know, we're putting our best foot forward for you guys. And I don't want you to think there are days that, you know, my head's not in my hands going, man, I don't know. I just give up on everything. I mean, we have our moments, you know, and everybody does. And I think that's kind of like where our Facebook group and just reaching out to other women, because a lot of times as women, we put our life forward and we don't admit like, whew, you know, this has been a tough week or day or hour, whatever it is. And mm-hmm. the more we support each other, mm-hmm. I think, you know, strength in numbers.
Oh, no, absolutely. I absolutely concur everything you say. I want to add to it. I remember years and years ago when Steve was doing research and development, and it was a very small team. One of his coworkers invited us over for dinner, and it happened to be the first Friday of Lent. And I didn't even think about it. I think they were like Southern Baptists or something because she had a real sweet accent. But his boss was also Catholic. And so it was just the 6 of us. And, you know, she served chicken and I didn't really know what to do because, mm-hmm. you know, you sit there at this moral, like, okay, well, it's Friday. I'm not supposed to be eating meat, but I don't want to be rude to her and tell mm-hmm. her that she can't eat. And so I did. I kind of just said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I ate the chicken. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I went to confession and I confessed it. I was like, I broke my abstinence. And I explained the situation, and the priest actually told me that that was not a sin, that an act of charity is more important than an act yes. of sacrifice, which wasn't that something like we've been listening to, like, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
And it always yes. stuck with me, and it was really interesting. The rest of that story was when we got into the car, I said to my husband, I didn't know what to say. We ate meat, and he said, yeah, I knew she was going to serve chicken because he told us, and the boss told his wife, and she's been ranting all week to him about chicken, and neither of us knew how to tell the husband that we were Catholic. And I thought, wow, you mean you guys could have prevented it? And then he also said, I chose not to tell you because I didn't want to hear it for the whole week. You know, I go, well, okay, well, you know, that's mercy, right?
Right.
And that other wife apparently, I guess, was ranting and raving. So that's one of those things is the grace, right? Accepting, you know, and that happened with me a couple of weeks ago with my daughter has unexpectedly been offered a job in Austin, and we found a great apartment, and we had to go, like, literally in 2 days, we had to go down and sign for the key if we were going to get it. So we did. And I thought, because I gave up coffee and I'd been doing so well with just green tea, I thought I was going to be okay at 4 o'clock in the morning just with green tea. And I wanted to drive because I wanted her to get the rest because we had to turn around and get back so she could go to work the next mm-hmm. day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like 2.5 hours, and it was in February. So it was a few weeks ago, and it was very cold. It was like winter and spring were really fighting, and it was foggy, and I hadn't driven in fog for years. And I got through the fog, and I just pulled over at a gas station. I said, girlfriend, you got to drive because I am falling asleep. And I did. I took a nap, and she drove the rest of the way there. And so then the next day I said, okay, you know what? I know how weak I am, and this takes precedence. I have to have coffee if I'm going to drive for her because she has to rest so she can get to work. And so, yeah, so I drank coffee willingly, consciously, intentionally broke my fast. But it was for, again, it was like kind of like the purpose. Now, you know, we can always play that game, right? Of like, oh, well, mm-hmm. this justifies it. But the other thing I think we have to focus on is, why do we give things up? Just because the church teaches us we have to fast, mm-hmm. we have to pray, we have to alms give. What is the purpose of the giving up the thing? And sometimes that helps, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, the giving up the thing is to grow closer to God, to try and experience, you know, I also would honor the sacrifices that Jesus made. I mean, so obviously nothing we give up is going to come close to the crucifixion. And so there's that, but it's always your intention. And obviously helping your daughter get moved is way more. I mean, like you said, God's not going to give you more than you can bear. And I think he also understands true extenuating circumstances. Of course, we can always play the game, but we know in our hearts when it's truly, listen, I've got to drive 8 hours and I won't be able to do it unless I have a cup of coffee, as opposed to like, well, I mean, I know it's Friday, but man, that chicken smells good. That's different, you know? And also back to your story with the, you know, the other thing is you got to consider, maybe chicken was her most competent dish. I mean, remember when you're a wife and you're hosting it, it's nerve-wracking to host in your home if you're not used to it. And you're going to put your best foot, something you know. I mean, my go-to with people come over, spaghetti. I'm solid in spaghetti. It's safe. And even now I'll make a red sauce with no meat and meat separate, so people have choices with all the different dietary concerns in the world today. I mean, heck, I even have a box of gluten-free pasta for my brother. Just, you know, it's just kind of funny. But I would be nervous if I didn't, you know, thinking younger, when I was younger and didn't have a big collection of things I felt confident in making. So, you know, maybe mm-hmm. she was like, this is my best dish. And
yeah.
And so it is more honorable to have the fellowship.
Yes. And that, and again, that's the thing is that, you know, Christ always looked at the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Love the sinner, hate the sin. But the other thing I want to remind everyone is, you know, okay, so we're over the hump, right? And we're yes. closer to Easter than we were before.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could almost taste it, right? It's almost like the last leg of a run or something. And yet maybe we have fallen away. And so maybe we have been discouraged, like, what the heck? Why do I even try? Like, oh, well, and I've been there before. Kind of a side note, one of the reasons why I like to give up coffee is because it has been such a challenge. And there have been years when, you know, I had an undiagnosed thyroid issue that really caused perpetual tiredness. And so to not be able to have coffee, I mean, I couldn't take care of the kids. It became mm-hmm. that bad, you know? And so I would struggle, I would struggle, I would struggle. And then I was like, oh, forget it. And even last year, I had a lot of drama and I was coached on it. And mm-hmm. one of my coaches said, well, do you have to give it up the whole time? Why don't you just see if you could give it up for 1 hour? And that's what I did. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to, you know, you've given me this sanguine personality and sanguines love to play games. We're just going to make it light and play a game. And so every day, that's what I would do is I would say, okay, can I just wait? Can I just wait? Can I just wait? And can I just wait? And I think towards the end last year, there were days that I actually didn't drink coffee at all.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to just wait and find out what was my real need and then start again. And so that was one of those things I love. I have to tell you, Blessed Bruno Lanteri, I think is how his last name is. He's the founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, which is, if anyone knows Father Tim Gallagher, he is like the master of the Ignatian way, the spiritual discernment of spirits and the examine. And he has such a gentle voice. But anyway, Blessed Bruno says he has this Italian phrase, it's nunc cepi, N-U-N-C, capital C-O-E-P-I, nunc cepi. And the quote is, though I fall 1,000 times, I calmly get up and say, nunc cepi, let us begin again. Mm-hmm. So that is a beautiful encouragement. I want to encourage our listeners that if you have fallen, if you're like, whatever, it's too late. I can't do it again. It's closer to Easter. Forget it. I'm just going to give up. No, let us begin again. Let us begin again. Let us begin.
Sometimes in the past, I've given up things for Lent that honestly were never going to be achievable anyway. I mean, you have to think. And hey, great news, we get an opportunity every year. So if this year you're like, wow, that didn't work out, next year you can do something more manageable. But at this point in the Lenten journey, you can still say, okay, well, the thing I gave up, it just isn't working. And if you're like, you know what, I actually don't think I can give up anything and stay with it. Okay, commit to waking up and reading one scripture verse, or before you go to sleep, reading something. Again, Lent is about growing closer to God. And so, you take a moment to yourself and think, like, what is a way I can feel closer to God? And I also know a lot of Catholics struggle with we see God as like this parent, like this angry dad. And how am I going to get in good graces with my dad without making him mad? That's not the God we serve. That is not how he is. And I know it's still, I mean, that's how I grew up thinking. And so it's been such a, I mean, this podcast, Jane, is really way back on podcast one or two, it really changed my outlook when you were like, this is a God of mercy. He wants, again, the only sin he can't forgive is the one you don't go to him with. So there's really nothing so heinous any of us have done. So again, kind of get that false pride out of the way and just say, you know what? Okay. You know, it can even be as simple as like, God, I don't know how to have a relationship with you. I pray you show me the way. Boom. Say that every day until something will come to you. And I always tease that I need a burning bush. And, you know, funny enough, usually whatever thing it is, by the time I reflect, I'm like, there was like 6 burning bushes. It's like a full-on bonfire. And I was over here going, I don't see any signs. So it might not be the sign how you would put the sign, but it's how God puts the sign. And just...
Yes. You know, I have a funny story. A part of my conversion story about that is that when I was in school, I went to a boarding school for high school, 2 different boarding schools, one in England and one in the United States, because my parents lived overseas. And I remember... the Lent of senior year, I went to church a couple of weeks beforehand, and this priest was talking about, instead of giving something up, why don't you take something on?
Mm-hmm.
And as a senior, we were allowed to sign ourselves out. And I had a free period. There were 2 lunch periods. I had the first period for lunch, and then the second period was free, but all my friends had second lunch. So it just so happened that I looked in the bulletin and they had a noon mass, and it was just maybe 2.5 blocks away from our school. So I would sign myself out. I would walk down. This is really kind of funny. At 18, I knew nothing about my faith except that I was Catholic. That is all I knew. I knew that Catholics went to mass. So that's what I decided to do. I would get there like 5 minutes before mass actually started. I would sit in the back because I was too embarrassed, but I would always hear the older ladies in the front praying the rosary. And of course, they don't project their voice for the whole, I didn't even own a rosary. All I heard was the Holy Mary part of, I didn't know what decade. I just heard the rest of the people saying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. And so that was one thing I learned over Lent, was that one little part of the prayer, because I would always get there. And then, of course, I was going to mass. And then I would walk back and my friends would be at lunch and I would go to lunch with them. And then I went to go visit for spring break our cousin, because, of course, I couldn't go home back to... And I wasn't like embarrassed, but sometimes we don't know how to, we don't talk about God and we don't talk about our experiences with God. So when you're a young person that's searching, you don't even know how to bring up the subject. So even though this cousin of ours is very practicing Catholic and loves Jesus, and now she and I have these amazing conversations, at that time, I didn't know how to tell her that what I gave for Lent was to go to mass, daily mass. And I didn't know how to ask her, because I didn't drive. I didn't know how to ask her if she would take me to daily mass, or how could I get to daily mass? Because she had little ones. They were, I don't know, 2 and 4 or something like that. And so I kind of gave up. Yeah, well, it wasn't that I gave up. It was just that I didn't have the capability of finishing.
Skill set,
Right. But it always, it was such a beautiful experience. It was so profound. Again, I didn't understand mass. I really didn't even understand the Eucharist until years and years later, probably almost 10 years later. Like, did I really actually understand that what I was receiving is Jesus's body, blood, soul, and divinity? I just knew the Catholics went to mass. But that served me. So when I did go to college, there were a number of years that I would try to go to daily mass, depending on how my school schedule was. Anyway, it just really served me of being able to go to daily mass. But I thought, Wow, look at that. Way back then, as a senior in high school, I took on this project of a Lenten taking on rather than sacrificing. And now, 40 years later, I'm a daily communicant pretty much. And people know that
walking and helping other women find their faith too. And that's, you know, I know I'm not exactly on this topic, but that's a lot of times I do think Catholics, a lot of Catholics take Mass. So there's so many Catholics that go in there. It's like, again, it's kind of that punitive, like we have to go to Mass and you have to be quiet and the kids better not fidget. And, you know, you have this like a punitive Mass. And I operated that like that for a long time. I mean, you know, my mom was Catholic, my dad was not. And so I kind of got the sacraments haphazardly, but I never really understood either. So I kind of had the same sort of journey where when I had kids, I was like, okay, I have to make a choice. I'm not going to have them in limbo. And so I just dove in and started taking them in Mass. And, you know, I guess as Catholics kind of remember, if you see a person in the parish at Mass that looks maybe a little like alone or, you know, anything, or even you could say, hey, you know, our mom's group meets these days and just reach out, because I mean, that's something you can, that's a do thing. Like if you've drank coffee all through Lent, you're like, I can't give this up, but you can say hi to that fellow parishioner.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way. I know for me, I mean, I am a sanguine and I like people and I like interaction. So I guess if you happen to go share yourself with a melancholic, they might be like, hey, please don't ever talk to me again.
Actually, you know, that's one of those funny things that I've come to understand now. Now, listeners, we talk a lot about temperaments because that's one of the first things that I teach when I'm doing my coaching, is really helping you understand who you are through your temperaments. And melancholics and sanguines actually get along well. We need each other because they help us go deep. They help us. Yeah, they balance us out. And they actually thrive with us because we bring that joy and we can get them out of that sadness and stuff. But it's really interesting you say that about the Mass and about being welcoming. As a college student, I read a book. It was called The Woman of God by Anne Ortlund. It was a Protestant book. She was a Protestant. She was a pastor's wife. And it was all about a calendar, which is really interesting because later she recommended creating a 3-ring binder and having goals and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, it was just kind of crazy because then later the Covey planner and all these planners came through. And I'm like, well, I was doing this way back when. But one of the things she talked about in that book, and I still remember, is the fact that if you really want to get to know a parish, stay afterwards.
Amen.
Stay afterwards. And it's funny because I took that on. First of all, as a college student, I stayed after because I was hoping that people would meet me. And when I was with this Protestant church, they were very well known of like inviting the college students to lunch. And then we would go back because they had morning service and evening service. This is when I was still trying to figure out who I am and what I do and how I worship. But it struck me, the hospitality. And I think mm-hmm. that's one of those things that we don't do as Catholics very well. And mm-hmm. it's one of the things that I intentionally brought to Catholicism, back to the church. Like I intentionally look for that young teen that's got the ripped jeans and it has the crazy hair and welcome them. And it's interesting because my husband said a number of times when we were doing marriage prep, there was this point we always have to like add, what's the most admirable quality that your spouse has? And he's like, I just love the fact that Jane will walk up to anybody at church and just say hi. He goes, I just always at first would get really irritated because she just has to talk. But now I realize that she always had a purpose for it, because it would be that pregnant mom who she'd invite to La Leche League, or it would be that mother that had small children that would invite him to the homeschool group, or it would be that young teen to invite him to the life team. Like she always had that next step of welcoming them. And he goes, and she has this gift of making people feel like they're their best friend, even though she met him 5 minutes ago. And he goes, once I realized that, I was able to like let her do her thing. And yeah, I would sit there for 20 minutes waiting for her. And sometimes we'd get in the car and joke like, we're going to leave without her, you know. But it's true. And I have so many people that have come to me and said the same thing. Like, it's because of your welcoming smile, or because you wrapped your arm around me and invited me into the life teen night that they started. And now they're starting to practice. Or that time when, what did you say? The mom that turns around when your kids are on the pew and it's okay, honey. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And now we get to do that, right? Because we're the older moms in the parish. And I think that's really important. I love what you said is that, you know, maybe we can't sacrifice something. Maybe we can't fast from something, but what can we do? And maybe that thing that we can do is be Jesus in the pews and be the hospitable one and just smile and say, hi, my name is so-and-so. Who are you?
Well, you know, my favorite story is Jen Danner, now Jen Delacross. If she hadn't come up to me, we wouldn't both have this beautiful mutual friend that has brought God into our life. You know, our relationship, I think mine and has grown just by knowing them. And so that was seriously just an interaction at church. Her coming up and said, hey, I'm the oldest of seven. I'm a single soldier here. What do you need? I'm like, please come live with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Not quite that intense, but she was just you just never know. And it doesn't hurt to be nice. And if the rest of Lent, your goal is to ask the Father to show you the little ways to get closer and reach out and say hi to somebody at your Mass. Mm-hmm. That's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you're really struggling with whatever the thing that you've given up is just, okay, can I offer it up for this 1 hour? But then we don't want to just white knuckle things and we don't want to just do it on our own. I mean, that is what we call unholy self-reliance. Like, I'm going to do it. No.
Your pride has to get out of the way.
That's right. But then the other thing is that we could pray for someone during that hour or that 5 minutes or, hey, please unite this to whoever is. And it's interesting because whenever I'm starting to do that and I kind of like, who do I need to offer for? Somebody will text me about, you know, their nephew's got cancer or something crazy.
You also got to keep it into perspective. Like, again, so let's say you're stumbling in your Lenten journey. You know, I don't know if I've told you guys this. My son, Carson, he's an Army Ranger and he's in this big competition, wants to be in this competition. He fell 35 feet and fractured his L1. Now, I'm telling you what, gratitude, like I want to get tearful just talking about it. The gratitude that he's not paralyzed is astronomical. But he still has a struggle on like, whether should he compete anyway, just a lot. And it just kind of that keep it in perspective. When you're beating yourself up about failing or not knowing, keep it in perspective and just be grateful. Just know that again, and then the same kid that, you know, when a tornado hit Nashville and one of his best buddies, the neighbors got wiped out and literally they lost their lives and their baby's life. And I got the phone call that, hey, I'm okay. But there's other parents that got the phone call that says you need to make arrangements. And it's just, you know, you got to count your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're thinking, even if when you're offering up, you're like, okay, I'm going to offer it up and say a prayer for the people that need it most right now. If you can't get specific, just open your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love that because a lot of times what happens is when we do decide to really give up the thing, the whole purpose of it is what is blocking me from my relationship with God? Now, was coffee really blocking me from God? Well, not really. But there were times when I wouldn't pray unless I had my coffee with me, you know? And what it's been revealing to me, and this is really the part of the journey of Lent, is that because sometimes things are difficult, it's revealing other things that are inside of us. And what I'm finding for myself is that there are times when I am looking for something and I go to the kitchen, I want to make a cup of coffee, and of course I can't. And then of course I could always make a cup of tea, which is fine. But then I stop and say, what am I really looking for? What am I really hungry for? What am I really thirsty for? And then that's when I can go and say, I need a few minutes with the Lord and go sit down and maybe open my scripture or read the gospel of the day or something like that, or even just say a quick prayer, maybe a decade of the rosary.
I mean, we're so lucky these days. You can pop open your phone and you don't even have to think. You can just be like, let me just punch this app and do that one thing.
Yes, I know. Oh, I, It really is amazing. It really is a blessing to be a 21st century Catholic. Mm-hmm. We are just so blessed because we could watch little Father Mike Schmitz presents, these little 5-minute YouTube things, or like you said, listen to an episode of Bible in a Year.
My husband found a Father Rocky. There's a Father Rocky out there that literally breaks down the Mass. And we've been watching that because if you're in the situation you or I were in, like, you know, you're Catholic and that's where it ends. Like, I even found out some things about the altar I didn't know. And he breaks it down 5 minutes. He knows that we are 21st century Catholics and our attention span's not that long and we got a lot of stuff to do. And so there's just lots of little ways. And again, ladies, you can always come back to our Facebook page. We're really trying to open a conversation there, and you can just put your wins or your struggles. And it's a supportive group. This is not a group where it's non-judgmental. We're here to walk this walk together.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, as a coach, I'm be more than happy to help you figure out what the mindset is, but more also what the emotions are, what's behind what's going on. That is so beautiful. Well, speaking of time, we are going to close with our Ephesians prayer for all of us, but thank you. This has been great. And we just want to encourage you at the last leg of Lent and just ask the Father to draw you ever closer to his Son, and really so that you can really celebrate that Easter celebration. And remember, we've got a couple more Sundays. So those Sundays are our feast days, if you so choose. That's your choice. So, all right. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Till next week, Catholic Divas, we will see you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hey, before you go, I have a question to ask you. Have you joined our Facebook group page, Cycles and Sanctity? Well, we want you to go ahead and go over to Facebook and just look up Cycles and Sanctity and come on and join our group, and we can continue having this conversation over there.